Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I am Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, the 21st week of the year, we now embark upon with this past Sunday's celebration of the Eucharist. As we move into these later days of the church year, again, our thoughts are always directed now to what does it mean to be a believer in the world? And what does it, and how are we supposed to live as believers in the world? And what should we strive for as believers in the world? Again, all of this comes on the tales of resurrection, because resurrection renews the world. It renews history. It takes us from a course that was leading to despair and darkness onto a course now that leads to hope and to light. And so with that in mind, how are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves as believers in the world? Because that is our witness. And it's always the understanding that our faith, our belief, is something that is always public. It is not private. It is not our own keeping. It is not our own possession. It's not something that's supposed to help us like some life coach or some kind of guru to get through days and things like that. It is supposed to manifest to the world another way of being and acting, another way of living, you know, in this world with different goals and objectives and purposes and insights. And so today's readings are a little bit tricky because the reading, well, the Hebrews reading, it's again because we're semi-continuous reading of Hebrews. So just to look at that just for a second, as the person who is writing to the Hebrews, it's not Paul's letter to the Hebrews, it's a letter to the Hebrews, an anonymous author, maybe a disciple of Paul that is not named, but we don't know. So the letter to the Hebrews begins to talk about discipline, because in Pharisaical Judaism, the Judaism of the Pharisees, discipline was always a part of the life and always a part of how to live a good life before God and how to live a life that God would bless by the more disciplines you exhibited or undertook in your life. But disciplines were difficult, and the Pharisaical disciplines, the disciplines of the Pharisees, were constantly filled with burdens that were too hard to carry or objectives and goals that were impossible to achieve. And so Jesus basically throws away all of that and offers a different way of living. But there is a sense in which there is a discipline to that kind of living. Most people look at discipline as something that deals with pain and punishment. But again, the root of discipline is the understanding of teaching. And that when one is disciplined, one is being taught something that is going to hopefully better one's life. There are some disciplines that do not benefit anything and that should be avoided at all costs and do nothing. But then there are all those disciplines that come from God. And a discipline like loving more, like forgiving more, like being less judgmental. All those kinds of things are disciplines to learn that allow for life to grow, that allow for love to flourish, that allow for a wholeness and a fullness of life to be seen. So this letter to the Hebrews at this point in time is cautioning the Jewish converts, the Jewish individuals who are becoming attracted to the Christian life, to understand this difference in what it means to be disciplined, not to be punished, but to be somebody who begins to recognize them more in life so that their lives may be filled with even more joy. Be that as it is. So that's a good thing to know. That's a good thing to live by. But the meat of today's Sunday is in the first reading of the gospel, the first reading from Isaiah, which basically comes towards the end of Isaiah's whole proclamation. It talks about a God who wants to bring all people into this kingdom, all people into this life with God, that no one should be prohibited from doing it, that it will come from east and west and north and south. And even those who are non-Jews may take on roles that were just formerly committed only to Jews and the responsibility of only to Jews to do. So even high priests may come from those who come from the East and the West and not necessarily only from Judaism itself. This idea of a God who wants to embrace a universality of the message of God, again, coming from Isaiah, that God's purpose is not just singular anymore. The chosen people are always the chosen people and they are the first examples of what God can do. But the whole idea is that it can never ever remain limited to them, Isaiah says, and now must break open. And that's become something that all people would be able to experience. All people would have the opportunity to embrace in their own lives. A wonderful, wonderful message. But now you get to Luke's gospel today, which is, again, tricky if you read it in only one way. And again, the danger of one story is always reading something in only one way. So somebody asks a stupid question. Are only a few people going to be saved? And why are they asking that? Perhaps not in the desire that more people be saved, but for the desire that only they may be saved who are asking that question. You know, because again, this is how it happens sometimes, that we only want what's good for us or for those we care about. And we want to create a club. We want to create a bubble around ourselves and nothing more. And basically, Jesus, you know, dismisses that stupid question. question as stupid question, and then begins to talk about a parable. But a parable that begins with talking about a narrow door. Strive to enter through the narrow door. And again, if you're able to do so, you know, again, if you take, again, the disciplines, you could probably add that in for the second reading. If you take the disciplines necessary for moving through the narrow door, you know, you will enter into this wonderful life, into this eternal life. But again, that is so problematic because, again, why would God want to put up resistance? You know, when Isaiah is talking about a God who breaks down all the barriers, all the walls, and just welcomes in anybody, this is why these two readings have to be read in tandem. Who creates a narrow door? Well, that person who asks the question, are only a few people going to be saved? Because I know that I'm one of them, and I'm going to be able to enter this eternal life and enjoy all the joys by myself and perhaps with just my friends. It's about tearing, you know, if you want a narrow door, you can create a narrow door for yourself and deal with all of its consequences and its problems and its pains and its suffering. But why? Why would you do that? Because the rest of this parable, again, talks about people, again, coming from east and west, north and south, and everyone rejoicing in what God can offer them. Keep practicing narrow doors and all you will get is a narrow life. Keep practicing narrow doors and all you will get is an empty life or a life that is limited because you can only take through what you can take through a narrow door. God breaks down narrow doors. Christ is breaking down walls and any kind of frontier that stands in the way of us and what it is that God wants to give us. Again, the whole understanding of Franciscan life, again, is to build up what has fallen apart, is to put back together that which falls into disarray, is to create something that all people can rejoice in, can love in, can experience in, can find hope and wonder in. This is not happening if there's a narrow door. This is not happening if there are only a few people who want to come in because they think they are the best. It's not about what I can do to get into that door. It's about recognizing a God whose arms are so wide open that I cannot but enter into that embrace and not want but to enter into that embrace. Without that recognition, our faith is powerless. Without that recognition, our faith becomes a club or an organization with rules and membership duties and all kinds of things like that, which is not what Isaiah forecasted, prophesied, and is not what Jesus ever talked about in the Gospels. We are called to be people who welcome in always, tearing down the doors, living in such a way that our lives as believers shows an invitation that no one should be able to refuse, because why would you? Again, living this life in light of resurrection, living this life in the light of the hope that Christ presents us because he is living, risen from the dead, allows us to walk forward with confidence and trust, not to be afraid of anybody we can invite, of everyone we must invite to be a part of this wonderful, gracious kingdom of God. A blessed continuation of this 21st week. May the Lord give you his peace.